Hello and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters, day
303.
How are we all doing? Can I declare it silly season, Mike?
If you like.
You know what I've done, don't you?
No idea.
Oh, had the news on again. There are just no words. Can I leave it at that?
Deb got her book.
Wow, at last. Excellent. Oh, Simon beat Jonathan. Oh, hello, Simon. Hello,
Jonathan's
Jonathan.
Jonathan's arguing that he was only half there because he's making his dinner.
Well, may I just say that's clearly bad planning, Jonathan. Anyway, hello to you both. CQ. Can't believe it finally arrived. That is wonderful news. Scrambled eggs argument is valid. Simon, you know what you need to say? Come on, come on. Fake news. Thank you. Hello, Anthony. Oh, yes, what a day. We actually had the Home Secretary, she's allegedly in charge of law and order, coming on saying that the rules are very, very clear, but I can't actually tell you what they are, but we're going to enforce them now. What have they been doing for the last 10 months? Apart from being driven by the newspapers and their insta-perfect ladies who had a picnic. I really don't know what's going to be different. Oh, and then the other thing that was in the papers that I thought, well, look, I've not been out in a while. Hands up. You know, I accept that. But we're now insisting you wear masks in the supermarkets. Correct me if I'm wrong, and clearly I am. I thought that had been going on since the summer. Wasn't that the rule? Isn't there a sign outside the door? Wear a mask unless you're exempt. And, you know, to be honest, I'm not at all sure about exemptions. I can understand exemptions maybe if you can't breathe, but I honestly wouldn't have thought. These masks aren't like putting on... I don't know if everybody saw that thing I put on Facebook. It was like an old gas mask from the First World War, never mind the Second. And the caption said, like, I'm just popping out to the co-op, is there anything you want? It's a thin piece of paper. You can breathe through it. I just thought that was happening, and when, yeah, clearly it's not been. And I think, what about the people who work there? And they've got to work there every day. Really isn't fair. If all that you can do for somebody else is put a mask on, honestly, that's easier than staying home. And staying home's not difficult. It's clearly just me. Good morning, Paul. How are you? You were here first, but we're making coffee. I don't think Simon is going to take the coffee as an excuse either. But we'll see what he says. It's now an enforcement policy, I believe. The supermarkets will challenge those on the way in, not voluntary. It should have been that way to start with. But what they were saying, as I read it, was that the staff who are at the doors are being abused by people who don't want to wear a mask. Now, if you're exempt, then you don't need to wear a mask. But if you just don't want to wear one, what is the matter with you? Really, what is the matter with you? If you don't want to wear a mask, why don't you have your food delivered? Hello, Mrs. Simon. Hello, Kim. How are you all doing? Let me know. We saw our mate today, didn't we, Dono? On a video that he's done. It is terrifying.
He doesn't look great.
He looks like death warmed up. He left hospital, was it the back end of May or early June?
I can't remember.
But literally, he's been home for 6 months or more. He was doing a video because he runs this group, and he was explaining in the video why he needs to hand over the management of this group. And he could barely speak.
Mm.
He was running out of breath, and he wasn't moving. He was just sat there. He started off quite slow, but then he kept having to take breaks, and that was just speaking. And he looks at least 10 years older, doesn't he? It's shocking. And then you've got these people running around saying it's not happening. I mean, I can't see Dono being part of a cover-up, can you? he's a decent bloke. He's Dono.
Johnny's been sorting out Grandma's olive oil requirements for tomorrow.
Oh, I hope you've not made a mistake. Oh no, she's going to have very precise requirements, is Nanny Isaacs, I'm telling you.
No, it's nothing to do with Katini and Simon. It's United. He set up this group called Stretford Enders Worldwide. It basically started because some of his mates, you know, they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they've stopped going to the games. They don't go as often, and they were missing everybody. They were missing the camaraderie. So he set up this group called Stretford Enders Worldwide, and he set up a reunion every year in a pub in Manchester. And now he's basically not well enough to organise it, so he wants to hand it over. But as somebody said today on the chat, it's unlikely there's going to be a reunion in May this year anyway.
I wouldn't book anywhere if I were you. Oh. Right, what have we got here? So if you can't wear a thin mask, how are you going to cope when you can't breathe? Exactly. These are so thin. I really can't understand anybody who can't wear one. And Mrs. Simon says, if you can't wear a thin mask, you should be shielding, not putting on a sunflower lanyard and going out on a shopping jolly.
I'll tell you totally what. Totally agree. Tell you what I meant to tell you.
Go on.
Pat posted on the group on Facebook, and he says, things look like they're going to get a whole lot worse in Munich. Bavarians will in future be required to wear FFP2 masks when out shopping, in public spaces and on public transport, the leader of the southern German state has said in a surprise announcement.
I'm not surprised. They had it on the ball.
Yeah.
He was actually going out to Germany to do the Munich Memorial over there first week in February. But his flight was cancelled before Christmas. So they're just not letting people in. At least they're doing it right. Oh, it took Kim 30 minutes to wipe down the food. I haven't been to the grocery for over a month. I'm glad to hear about the grocery for over a month, because then I know you're safe. Because it's just not safe out there. It's wall-to-wall idiots, honestly. I sat here at about 3:30 this morning thinking how blissfully quiet it was. As I was working, looking out the window, not there wasn't even a fox outside. Lola had seen him off earlier in the day, hadn't she? She spotted a fox and wanted to bring it home. Companionship. No, Lola, not a fox. She was actually a little bit bigger than the fox, though, wasn't she?
She was.
Mm. So clearly a little toy she wanted. But it was just so blissfully quiet. And then, you know, fast forward 12 hours, 3:30 in the afternoon, you're looking out the window, just shaking your head. There are people out there taking brisk walks that have never left the house in 5 years for a brisk walk. You know, as far as they would get to the pub. Clearly, because the pub's shut, they need a brisk walk. They're just barking mad. Barking mad. Anthony wonders if some of the people who say they can't wear a mask just haven't given it time to get used to them. Could well be. I mean, they are an absolute pain to wear with glasses, I'll grant you. The glasses just steam up. It's ridiculous. But it is just a piece of fabric, and it's there to keep you safe and keep other people safe.
I wear them when I go and meet Wendy.
Yeah, and your glasses steam up and you just have to cope with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've established that's the reason my glasses steam up.
Well, I'm assuming that's the reason your glasses steam up. You have to be careful here with them.
I've got Lola chaperoning me. I don't come to any harm.
No, you don't. That's very, very true. So Jonathan says, it's not nice wearing one, but that's only because we're not used to it. Medics have been wearing them all day in, day out for years. There was actually a picture that I saw, and it was, I think it was trying to shame these idiots who were stood at Tesco's arguing about it. And it was a photo of nurses after shift with mask wearing. You should have seen the state of them. They were bruised to heck. I mean, I think that one was early on. But these are a 13-hour shift with PPE. And you see the state of their faces and you just think, like, you can't wear a tiny little piece of fabric. What is wrong with you?
Wendy,
and I know, go on.
Wendy is indeed one of my fancy women, Simon.
Oh, there's so many women, so little time, isn't there, Mike? As we keep
She's one of the ladies that delivers our shopping on a Saturday night. She gets a mention in the week at MacBite's headquarters, doesn't she?
She does.
She's got her own slide.
She has, actually. She's got sometimes. She's got more than one. I mean, honest to God, there's just... There are no words for the state. And these nurses, doctors and nurses, are wearing these things day in, day out for shifts as long as 13 hours a shift. And people are saying, oh, no, I can't put a mask near my face. I mean, even if you've got some kind of breathing difficulty, it's a tiny piece of fabric. You can breathe. Just look at those pictures. And they're doing that for the rest of us. If you can't put a mask on, well, I could tell you what I would do with you, but I'd probably end up at the wrong end of the rifle that I'd be talking about at the time. But there you go. I think of it as just as like a courtesy to other people. In fact, I'm thinking like down the line, you know, like 5 years from now. I'm honestly thinking maybe this is something that will just... Well, clearly people don't like wearing them, so it probably won't. But as a courtesy and as a looking after yourself, I could see this going on longer than would actually be clinically necessary. Because as I've just said to Mike, we've not been out since the 6th of March. That's last year. But we've also, every Christmas, for about as long as we've known each other, one or other of us has been ill. And I mean like where you just can't lift your head off the pillow ill. Last year, so not 2020, 2019, we think we could possibly have had a mild form of COVID because neither of us could breathe. Again, you were doing the sleeping sat up thing. We both had a hacking cough, but it was only the cough. And we were waiting for the cough to turn into the usual winter cold or flu. And it didn't. The cough, when the cough disappeared, everything disappeared. And it was probably seriously bad in terms of breathing and coughing for about 5 days.
Mm.
Particularly when you lay down. Oh, you just didn't want to go to bed because you knew if the second you lay down, that was it. You were not going to be able to breathe. I don't know what that was. It could have been COVID. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. It could have been an early strain of it. Virtually everybody at church had it. Well, yeah, because as I've just said with Mike, this business of you can do this, you can't do that. I said, what's the last thing, the very last thing you do at church before you head up and hand out the Eucharist and the wine? Mike pondered for a thought, you know, not been to church for a while. Let me think. Oh, yeah. We do the peace be with you and we shake hands with at least 8 to 10 people before we go up. And you don't wash your hands. And the next thing you do is hand out the host. Yeah, can't see that happening anymore. But there again, seeing the priest in that silly little shield thing he had on, but no mask, actually handing the host out. I don't want to go back to that. I don't. Because as I said to Mike, we've not even had a sniffle, touch wood. This isolation thing, it's not all bad, you know. No. As long as you don't get, you know, some kind of illness some other way, I'm actually feeling fighting fit. And I don't want to go back. No, don't want to go back. Ooh. At least people can do it. Honestly makes Jonathan angry. I agree, it makes me angry, but, you know, what's the point? Can't get giddy about these things, can you? Costco have COVID kits. They include masks, face shields and hand sanitizers. That's actually a good idea, isn't it? I mean, I always had hand sanitizer in my bag anyway. That probably started when we got Mayor. And you never knew, you know, when you're out with him, whether he's getting into a mess or you're cleaning up after him. So I always had hand sanitizer.
See you, Johnny.
Night, Jonathan. But to have it like that, it sounds like the little box I've got with all my teeth stuff in it. And it makes a difference. You know, if it's not in the box that I can just pick up and put in my bag, then it doesn't get taken with me. So that's a good idea. Mike has so many women. Wendy's just one of them. Wendy's the only lady that delivers, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Mm, all the others are blokes. If you can't wear a mask, you should have free access to the volunteer workforce. So signed up to help with such situations. No mask, no shopping, but lots of help. Yep. But then, is this can't wear a mask or doesn't want to? And I think much of it is don't want to. Can't be bothered. I mean, one of my mates on Facebook today was saying, like, you should wear a mask. But he started it off with, I don't like wearing a mask. And I thought, well, I wouldn't like catching something that made me die either, or even made me seriously ill for weeks on end. So, you know, suck it up, mate. He did finish off with, but, you know, I will do it. But I thought, I don't actually think it's helpful to start off with, I don't like wearing a mask. I feel an idiot. Why would you feel an idiot in a mask? It's not like walking around in a thong and nothing else, is it? It's a mask. Get used to it. I can't understand people who seem to have a problem with the mask per se. I mean, Batman wore one. What's your problem? Clearly, I'm looking at it differently to this guy. Paul's heard stories of health workers going home from COVID wards, seeing people denying it's even real. Oh, tell me about it. That's still rumbling on. It's still rumbling on. You remember the cough we all had? It was a bad cough. It was really bad. But it was worse when you lay down. So, you know, you get up in the morning and you think, how do I feel? Pretty rough. And then you'd get up and you'd be like, oh, you know, well, if I have like a warm shower or warm water on my face, I actually feel much better. And then you get in bed at night and it'd start again. To the point you couldn't sleep, you couldn't breathe. It was horrible. Horrible. Mrs. Simon says our concept of personal space dramatically changed, thinking back to crowded shopping trips or sporting events and theatres. Absolutely agree. And there was, I think it was on the paper either yesterday or today, rumours of a 3 metre rule. I mean, they took that down to 1 metre in the summer and, you know, look where we are now. Theatres would be, particularly the smaller the theatre, the worse it would be. I mean, when you think, the last time we went to the theatre was probably We Will Rock You.
Yeah, I think it was.
I mean, there's barely enough room to sit down. Not even joking. You are sat on top of the person next to you. There is not enough room for your knees, because I remember, you know, during the break, Joe stood up. Now Joe is a trim fella. He really is. He was sat next to Kath. She's tiny. And I think he had... Do you have Kaz on the other side? But he stood up and he said, oh my God, I can't feel my legs. And there was that little room for his legs. He literally lost the use of them. You're standing there during the break just trying to get your legs alive again. In front of you, there's like an ashtray. Now, obviously, they're not used anymore. But the ashtray is digging into just under your kneecap, cutting the circulation off. There's also on the other side... opera glasses that you can put money in a slot and then use the opera glasses. There's no way you could get money in the slot. Never mind, they could get the opera glasses out. You literally cannot move. And that's just that theatre. They would say the Octagon's better, and the place to be sat in the Octagon would be on the front row.
Yeah.
And then there's nobody in front of you. Sometimes those seats are reserved for people with guide dogs. But I do like to try and get on the front row, then I can play with the guide dogs. I always ask first, which I do like to pet the guide dogs. But they couldn't run. They couldn't run. It's a small theatre. What would you say? 500-600 maximum?
Yeah.
But you think
no
of
more than that.
But like Mrs. Simon saying, you've then got to think about the bar during the breaks and the toilet queue. I just don't. I'm wondering if it's going to be another 2 years or so, the way this is going on.
Well, that's what they said when they let 2,000 fans in, wasn't it?
That was ridiculous. The effort that they went to at United, and I know they've not done it there yet, have they? But the effort they went to with the, what do you call it? It's got a name, hasn't it? The paperwork they have to put together. Like at the Catoonians for the Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
Safety audit or something, yeah. But that's not the term. By the time they'd finished all of that, and all of this was for 2,000 people in a stadium that holds 80,000, supposedly.
Kim's laughing at you.
Why?
So, Elaine, how is the theatre? The guide dogs were wonderful.
Oh, they are. They're so adorable. And I always wait until they take the harness off, because then they're off duty. So I toddle over and say, hello, we spoke last time. How's the dog? Fabulous. Oh, but they're just so brilliant. In fact, some of the plays we've been to...
Yeah, that was the best part of Hamlet, wasn't it?
Well, Mike...
I didn't enjoy Hamlet.
Mike did not enjoy Hamlet at all. I must admit, I did. But Mike didn't.
I had one ear listening to the match and the other eye watching the dog.
The thing was during Hamlet that I won't say ruined it for me, but it was distracting. There was a lady who clearly was visually impaired on the front row. And she had some kind of contraption from the theatre that was giving her like a commentary. So obviously she could hear what was going on in the stage. But this thing was like saying, you know, and Hamlet moves to the left and he's next to so-and-so, that kind of thing. And it was, I could hear it. And I was in another section. And I thought, you know, can we turn that down a smidgen? I thought that it should have been on headphones or something. And if it was... She must have been deaf as well, because it was that loud. I could hear every word, and I'm trying to actually listen to the play. But yet the dogs are fabulous. Do you remember what? Now, you see, the Octagon's not like a standard theatre. The palace where we went to We Will Rock You is as old as the hills. You saw the photos, I think, on the week at Matt White's headquarters. It's as old as the hills. The Octagon's about 50 years old, but it was built very contemporary at the time. And they've actually just rebuilt it, which is why we've not been in a couple of years. Because it was closed for the rebuild. But they can't actually make the footprint of the place much bigger. So to have the auditorium the same, they were upgrading the seats and the facilities. I mean, the toilets were just a joke. There was three ladies' toilets, actually three cubicles, for the entire theatre. So you've got an audience of like 600 and you've got a 10-minute break. Yeah, that's just the maths don't work there. But they did use the space that they had incredibly well, incredibly innovatively. One of them was Jane Eyre. Now, obviously, Jane Eyre, the mad woman in the attic. They actually had one of the actors, the mad woman in the attic, in the lighting rig, like sabre rattling in the lighting rig. It was amazing. I mean, again, safety audit, but they got it through. One of the other plays was The Tenant of Wildfell Hall. One of the Bronte books. And that was amazing. They actually put out an audition call, didn't they, for dogs?
Mm.
Some of them were more obedient than others. But there was a dog in the entire play and it was so well trained. We're like looking and like, yeah, Mayer would be the central attraction, but you'd have to do what he wanted. But this dog was amazing. It came on with the guy. It was stood next to him. Then it would sit down. Oh, really obedient. Yeah, not like any dog I've ever seen. Very obedient. But it was lovely to see it in the play. Some of them would have like a stuffed dog in other plays, but this was a real dog. And it was so good. So, so good. You don't wear a mask when... Well, there's no need to wear a mask, is there, when you're dog walking? Unless you meet people. And I know you, Kim, you're like Mike. You would just totally avoid the people. Even Lola's getting the hang of this socially distanced business. You can see a dog from the distance, but don't get any nearer. COVID secure... No, that's not the word for it. There is a word, and it's like an audit. Something assessment, I think it is.
Risk assessment.
Like a risk assessment, but I'm not at all sure that's the job, the word for it.
Safety assessment.
Audio description, so you can listen to what's happening on the stage. They do use headphones. You must have had it really loud. I could hear every word. Now, if you can imagine, Anthony, I'm sat there, front row. But the Octagon has like three bits. There's the main section, which is straight onto the stage. And that's where they have the guide dogs and stuff in the middle. And then there's two like wings at the side. And at the very front of those wings, the number of seats is two. It's triangular, so it widens as it goes back. So I always say to Mike, let's get those two on the front row. Which the first time we ever went there for All My Sons was a scream. We went in and I said, it's on the left-hand side. I said, two at the front. So Mike said, great. We get down there and we're looking. And right in front of us, because you are on the stage, there's no orchestra pit and all of that business. Literally, you're there. Your feet are on the stage. There was a chair right in front of us. Do you remember that wicker-style chair thing? Mm. Painted like a pale green. I said, that's a bit close, isn't it? And it was literally I won't even say you can touch it. It was basically sat on your knee. And I looked at this chair and I thought, well, maybe they'll move it as they go on. But, you know, for the minute, just sort of tuck your feet in so you're not touching this chair. Well, as the lights were going down, next to where we were, there was an entry point to the stage. So it's in the round and there's three entry points. So right next to me, I can feel like a slight draft as somebody walked up, but the lights were going down. And I realised it was my favourite actor, stood literally right next to me. As the lights went down, he reached out and he touched the back of his chair and he sat in it. And I said to Mike afterwards, whoa, that was a good seat we got. But the Hamlet ones were on the other side. So they were on the right-hand side. And this woman was probably about two people in. And I could tell. I mean, otherwise, I would have thought it was some idiot like Mike with the match on. But you couldn't hear you with the match because he had his headphones on. But if she had headphones on, oh, my God, she must have deafened herself.
That's what Anthony says.
I could hear every word, Anthony.
Must have had it really loud.
They do some productions there where their audio described with somebody at the back of the stage, because it is a really good theatre the way it's laid out. So they can have like a signer at the back of the stage doing all the signing thing. And they actually make that production a little bit cheaper, I think. And I think it's because they feel that, one, if you need to go to that one to follow along, then it should be a bit cheaper. But also that it might be quite distracting for people. And I didn't find that distracting in the slightest. I thought that was lovely. But this woman, I've never, ever heard it in any other production. It was just this Hamlet one. And you can imagine what Shakespeare's like to start with. Bearing in mind, this version of Hamlet, and I don't know if that affected Mike's view of it, it was set in the 1950s in modern dress. So you're trying to follow along as best you can. And obviously, being Shakespeare, there's people hiding behind curtains and stuff. And I've got this description thing yakking away that was loud enough to be really annoying and you could hear odd words right next to me. And I've got Mike on the other side going, oh, no, that was close. Because he's got the match commentary on. I'm not at all sure if that was why you didn't enjoy it. What do you think?
Probably.
Always entertaining when I head out to the theatre, isn't it? Mm. But I do love it when I go in and it's like, oh, it's Guide Dog Night. Fabulous. I mean, she must have had some audio description on. And I've sat like three seats up from her and not heard a thing. I don't know. Honestly, it sounded like it was on a boombox. So clearly an odd one. It only happened the once. Thank God. Because at first I didn't know what it was. And I'm thinking, somebody's got a phone on. Because they tell you at the beginning, you know, turn your phones off. People don't. And then it starts ringing. Then the actors get angsty with it. So, but this time, I'm thinking, that's not a phone. And I don't think it's a radio. Took me the majority of the first half to try and, you know, what are the words? And it's like, stage left. And I thought, someone's got a kind of running commentary going. And then I'm thinking, have they left it turned on? But no, it was this lady. Anyway, I hope she enjoyed it. Kim doesn't understand why those who design theatres, etc., don't realise they need to think about 10 times the number of toilets as they think they need. Oh, Kim, tell me about it. First time I went to Wembley, which was our national stadium. Initially, I don't think they had ladies' toilets, because when it opened, ladies didn't do sport. So for a start, there was that problem. Then when I got in there, you know, and this was the 80s, and they did have, the cubicles were that long. They were like a corridor. No locks on the doors. And whether it was built on a slant or not, I don't know. Now, if the cubicle's not that big, then you can just push the door shut with your hand. But this was that long. There was no chance. Pete, you were having to buddy up with people. Right, you know, well, can you hold the door for me and then I'll hold the door for you? And literally, there was somebody outside the door, and what we were doing for each other was putting our foot underneath the door and tilting it upwards to hold the door closed, because obviously there's no handles on it either. So all you could do was put your foot underneath and hold it for somebody. It was ridiculous. They then knocked it down and built it up again, but I still think they don't have anything like enough facilities. I mean, they rebuilt that our stand, the South Stand at Old Trafford, and you've still got bottlenecks to get to the ladies, to the gents, to the food things. They also have like TVs high up, so you can see the scores from other games and highlights. But all that does is block the aisles because people are stood there, neck craned upwards, and they're just stood, and you're trying to get past. It is ridiculous. I'm sure between us, we could design something way, way better than that. Absolutely. And the toilet building in Seattle has the most wonderful toilets for the ladies. You can sit there and watch the planes go by the window. That reminds me of one at college. Oh, my God. We had our lectures on the top floor, and there was the ladies there. And there were, I think there were three cubicles in it. And always the empty one was at the end. And the one at the end had a window in there. Now, it had frosted glass on it, but it usually had like a light inside. And I was always really dubious. So on the window ledge where the window was, I would always put my briefcase and like block the window, basically. Anyway, this particular week, I think I was taking my mum down there for the weekend. So we drove down on the Friday and I had one lecture. And she said, well, I'll sit outside while you have your lecture and then we'll go on. So she sat outside. So I comes back downstairs, gets in the car. She's got a smirk as broad as anything on her face. I said, what's going on? So she said, you know that room up there? And she's like, nodding her head to it. I said, yeah. She said, I'm presuming it's a toilet. So I said, yes, it is. So she said, do people realise when they're in there that they're silhouetted by the light and you can see virtually everything? And I said, well, it's crossed my mind. I said, she said, I've just seen like a whole procession of people going in there. And she said, you can literally see everything. So I said, well, if you saw someone who went in and put a briefcase down, I said, that was me. Because it always blocked that one off. I mean, it's shocking, isn't it? It really shouldn't be like that. Oh, dear. Usually there'll be a pre-show touch tour on audio-described performances so people have a look round the stage and get up close to the costumes. That is brilliant, isn't it? They are very, very good at the Octagon, I must admit. They are very good. They got David Thacker in 2009, who had very forward-thinking ideas. But one of the ladies who follows the same actor that I do, her daughter is actually registered blind. And she had done a 3-year degree in theatre production. And she got a job as an assistant stage manager at the Octagon for a couple of performances. And they also had, she had like a buddy, somebody who would like be her eyes. She didn't have a dog. A mum, when she was a child, would not let her rely on a dog. So she had a white stick and that was it. She was supposed to get around like that, no dog. Which I thought was a great missed opportunity as far as I was concerned, darn it. But no, she didn't have a dog. I think she had some kind of peripheral vision, but not much. But I think there's an organisation who provides like buddies, and she had about three of them and they took it in turns. But because they'd got experience with her, she was giving them advice on like, it'd be better if this and you could do that. And all of the actors, between the end of the show and the post-show chat, they all came out and they all wanted to stroke the dog and say hello to the lady and that. So I think they've probably done something like that. But it is a really, really nice theatre. Everybody is included. And there's so much extracurricular stuff going on. You know, we love going there. We got to meet so many of the actors and attend things like the read-throughs and the rehearsals. And you learn so much from it. I loved it. We even took your mother, didn't we? Arthur Miller, The Last Yankee.
The one in the mental hospital.
The one in the mental hospital, Mike. Yeah. Did you enjoy that one?
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah. I know the one you did enjoy.
That girl was good. She just lay there for the whole
thing. They actually had one of the university students, because there's a hookup between Bolton University and the Octagon. David Thacker moved from the theatre and he became a professor at the university. So there's a hookup between them. And they actually had a whole range of theatre students who took on this role, like they did it once a week. The role in the play was literally, someone was, I think it was the whole of the second act, wasn't it? They were in this mental hospital and was two beds on the stage. And bearing in mind, this was happening at the library in the basement because the theatre was being knocked down at that stage. And the library was completely opposite the theatre. And it was a little theatre of its own, but obviously it was tiny. And the stage was tiny. So they were limited in what productions they could put on. And this set was just two beds. So she sat on one bed. And this woman is lay out on the other one. She spends about an hour and 10 just lying there. Which is way more difficult than you think, isn't it? Because you've still got to concentrate. I remember Vanessa telling us that about Midsummer Nights. You know the bit where... which character was she? It was like Lysander and that lot, the four of them, the four lovers. She was one of the girls. And they sprinkled this pixie dust and they'd all nodded off. So she curled up next to the stairs. And they were there a while because although the play is one of his shorter ones, David Thacker is not renowned for short stuff, is he?
No.
No. It's more like an after-hours extravaganza. So this play ended up being about 3 hours, 40 minutes. And it's usually an hour and a half. So obviously they didn't rattle through it. So Vanessa's lay on the floor, curled up for about 50 minutes. And I could see that she you know, you could tell that she was concentrating because if you miss your cue because you're on the floor and you've nodded off. I mean, there was plenty missed their cue, but she wasn't one of them, thankfully. That particular play, and the girl afterwards, where there was a bit of a chit chat, and the girl said it is actually quite difficult because, you know, you might fall asleep. That was a good one. It was a good play. Ooh, an old Victorian swimming baths in Bristol. The changing cubicles were all the way around the outside of the pool. We've got one like that up here, Simon. It's some kind of, like a grade one listed building now. Victoria Baths in Manchester. And you will, I swear you'll know it if you look at a picture of it, because it has been in so many TV programmes. It's now... It was also on that. Is it Grand Designs where one gets picked to be renovated? I'm not sure if it won. Victoria Baths, Manchester. Oh, let's see if we can get a picture of it. But it was in... Oh, what's that woman called? The one that does... but it's not the Prime Suspect one, I think. Basically, there was like a gang in there. And they were using this dilapidated baths to exact revenge, shall we say. There's one picture of it. You can see from this one, obviously, the water's long since gone. But round the edges of it, there's all the cubicles. And this is the baths that I used to go to when I was at primary school for our swimming lessons. It was as old as the hills then. But have you seen that one? It's been in loads of TV shows. I think the last one I saw it in, they were having, there's another picky, pretty similar, but they were having like an expo. So a high tech expo, and they were putting the tables in the bath bit at the bottom. There we go. So it was renovated, but you can still see, if you look at that picky, the things around the sides. I think it's somewhere now that's just like a set that you can hire, basically. Yeah, I remember the outside of those. Opened in 1906. Pretty much still the same, to be honest. There you go. There's a little bit of information about it. But to think that was still a functioning baths when I was at primary school. That's scary. And worse than that with the cubicle, Simon, two of you had to go in. You couldn't be on your own. There was barely enough room to move, much less get changed. Hello, Tracy. I'm loving that. The doors didn't reach the floor. You're quite right. They didn't. They were like saloon doors. It was bad. It was bad news. Dr. B was buddy to his blind friend at secondary school. That's cool. That is so cool. Well, cases of COVID are up. Deaths are up. Governor's just relaxed everything. Oh, crying out loud. Is this the governor that's the governor who decided that nothing was going to be a crime anymore and it would all be fine? Is that the one? Yeah, we've got a few of those here. Actually, today's Tuesday, isn't it? So our Tuesday death rates will probably be sky high, as it will include half of the ones at the weekend. Right, let's have a look what we've got. Where are today's stats? Postcode rules. Oh, there is a video here as well on the differences between the vaccines. So that's I'll have a look at that later as well. One thing that got me today. Why are there no stats on this page, Mike? This is the COVID page. Oh, well, there we go. Hang on. 45,000 up today. And where's the deaths gone? Yesterday's deaths, they were all saying, oh, it's going in the right direction. There was only, massive air quotes, 550. And I said to Mike, I guarantee you by Tuesday, it will be more than double that. And I put a figure on it and I said 1,200. Guess how many, Mike?
How many?
1,243. I think that's an acceptable error, margin of error. So, yeah, more than double at the weekend. Oh, unbelievable. Same governor thought so. You were praying the president-elect would put him in the cabinet so he could be rid of him. But he didn't want him either. How unfortunate. How long's he got to go? Because I'm sure we mentioned last year in Marooned that when it came to May, we should have had our local council elections. And given that, I think at that time, that was 2020. Yeah, Boris had taken over by that point. There was a good chance it'd swing the other way. Anyway, they cancelled them and asked everybody to stay on for 12 months. So that's looking a really wise decision, isn't it? Because now they'll have to be put off this year. Can't see that happening in May. So we'll probably be stuck with them for yet longer. It'll never end. We'll never get rid of them. They'll just be there till they drop. At the end of the baccalaureate, A-level equivalent, 6 years dedication. He got a special thank you from the headmaster, only in private so as not to make differences. It's still cool. It's still very, very cool. What a lovely boy. Clearly brought up well. Hello, Sarah. How are you doing? We're just marvelling over some of the stories of the day that just get more idiotic by the second. Did I have another window open here? I did, but that's not got the right stuff in it. There was a story that was on the education section this morning. And I thought, you know, this is just typical. And then one of our friends mentioned it on Facebook. And I'm thinking maybe the two are related. It was something to do with particularly Scotland. Is it this one? Was this today? Yep, this is it. It says December Microsoft issue affecting pupils and it could take weeks to fix. And when you read it, it's basically a Microsoft Teams issue. It's affecting school pupils in Scotland during the first days of home learning. Microsoft say they're a few weeks away from fixing it. And it's something to do with the join button in Microsoft Teams not working, which, you know, that's pretty fundamental, isn't it? Oh, have a read, have a giggle. He would have been embarrassed at published recognition, but definitely deserved, absolutely deserved. 4 more years. That sounds like a chant I've heard before, Kim. How long are they in office? Isn't our local council 2 years?
I have no idea.
I think we vote every 2 years, only it's at least three since the last one, and it's not looking good for this one. I think it's 2 years here.
I just know that we go to the park to see dogs.
Yes, it's actually become, it's not polling day, it's dogs at polling stations. And Lola's last trip to the polling station was 2019, wasn't it?
Mm.
She was very vocal, saying who she would vote for.
She's always very vocal.
She's just like Maya. What was Maya like? When we used to go off to vote with Maya, it took two of you. You know, everyone else is just tying their dog to a little railing outside and they're sitting and waiting. You tied Maya to that railing, he'd be halfway to Perth in Australia by the time you came out with the railing behind him. So, but you couldn't take him in either. And he didn't like. Do you remember when you used to go in round the other door?
Yeah.
You went in round the other door and you kind of walked up this bit and then a wall appeared, and you would disappear behind this wall. And Mayer would be trotting along on the other side of this wall, and then you'd vanish, and he'd start. When he'd lost sight of me, he'd start. He would just be barking and barking. He'd do exactly the same thing when I came out and took over. And then Mike would go in, and he'd watch him, and he'd be fine until he disappeared behind this wall. When I got inside, the lady said, "Is that your dog?" I said, "Yes, he's missing me. So can we hurry this a bit longer bit?" I had to get back to him. And then she saw him and she said, "Oh, he's gorgeous. You should have brought him in." And I thought, can you imagine? The pair of us would be arrested and carted off. You see, totally logical, Mrs. Simon. Glued to Twitter on polling day just to look at the dogs. They're the best bit of polling day. They really are. Do you remember when Jane took all her guide dogs up there? She had, was it Kirby at the time? And I don't think she had Fraggle. I think she had Kirby. And wasn't there another one? She had another one that went to live on the Isle of Man. Can't remember its name.
No, I can't.
It was a weird name. It was named after a company, wasn't it? Brearley.
That's right.
Kirby and Brearley. So she took them up to the polling station. But the thing was, on polling day, she ended up dog-sitting about three other dogs. So you should have seen her when she turned up with all these dogs. Best photos ever for polling day. Oh, it's going to be a long time. We should have a virtual polling day. Mm. Or actually just a virtual share your dog day and be done. Because that's the only reason that we're going out to vote, to share our dogs. But they are so, so funny. And some dogs are so good. They do just sit there. There's no way we could risk it. And to be honest, at the moment, another reason not for leaving the dogs outside, you know, we just like a lead tied around something. People are stealing dogs. Now, I mean, I guess that happens all the time. But at the moment, it is rife. In our local Facebook group, there was a post this morning and it was this lady. And she said, you know, just be aware. She had been in the kitchen and the dog was in the garden. The dog was some kind of spaniel type dog, probably about the similar size to Kiva. So it wasn't a tiny little thing. It was a fairly substantial dog, but obviously not. Wasn't something massive either. What was Bailey?
Great Dane.
A Great Dane. Yeah, you probably wouldn't bother with a Great Dane. But this dog, I would say, was a reasonable size. Two lads jumped over the wall. So it was all shut in and gated and that. But they jumped in over a wall. First one grabbed the dog, threw it over the wall to the second one, and then he disappeared. All before this woman could get out of the kitchen. So there's now posters up with, you know, reward for the dog. But what people are doing with them, at the moment, with everybody in and stuff, I presume there's fewer burglaries. They're now like stealing what they can. And dogs are number one at the moment. Which is just shocking. In fact, anybody would do that on any level. But it's rife. So police are warning about it. And every time I look at Facebook, there's another one gone locally. So unfortunately, we can't leave Lola in the garden on her own at the moment. And she wants to go out while we're doing housey things downstairs. And we're having to say, no, you've got to go out when we go out. You know, we'll come out and we'll stay with you. What a world we live in. What a world we live in. Why would anybody... Particularly as it's just one dog and it's not a puppy. Before the lockdown, there was a lot of violent altercations where somebody had heard, because imagine that your dog's had pups and you're selling those pups. Obviously, you're advertising and there's a phone number and people can make arrangements to come round and see the pups. And then they need to see them in situ with the mother. They're turning up and they're armed and they're stealing the puppies. One of those was really serious. I think the gun went off, not deliberately maybe, and the woman got hit on the head, like pistol whipped with it. But they did find those puppies and bring them back. But they were literally like 3 to 4 weeks old. They were way too soon to be taken from their mother. And the mother dog was beside herself. So it was lovely to see the pictures when they got them back. But how many aren't brought back? And at least puppies, you know, okay, so you're selling a puppy. Why are you just nicking random dogs? I mean, they're not exactly... This was just a dog. It wasn't some kind of special breed or other. Just stealing dogs. And I'm thinking, how are they selling them? Because it's not exactly a man in a pub anymore, is it? Because they're closed.
True.
Unless they're being stolen to order, I really don't know. Don't you have 6-foot fences all the way round? We do. Apart from the gate. and the gate is probably about, how tall is that gate? Probably about 48, 50 inches.
Yeah.
I've tried climbing over it when I lost my keys once. Didn't end well. But there again, I'm probably not as fit as some of the others. But I still wouldn't risk it. I would not risk it. But yes, we have 6-foot fences. We have 8-foot fences at the back. So we have fences all the way round. I would say the only weak spot is possibly the back gate. And then only if two idiots are there, one helping the other over, and then them throwing the dog out. So I just wouldn't risk it. I was actually thinking, well, one, we could do with taller gates, couldn't we?
Yeah.
But there again, seeing as though the fence was technically illegal, but grandfathered, I don't know whether we dare put up taller gates. Maybe put some spikes on the top. Something evil on the top. But, I mean, people would just... Luckily, the way we designed it, you know how you put a fence panel in? You can just lift those up, like a window. Now, the way we put them in, we had a wall built with, like, pillars. Mum's design. This was... Do you remember the idiot that was building it? He said... He did all the rest of the work, but he said, I'm not great with walls. He just couldn't envisage what she wanted. I knew exactly what she wanted. We ended up... We had a digital camera that did, like, a 300K photograph. It was... 2009 it was. So I sent Mike out with this thing, and I said, just take a few photos, walk along the pavement and take a straight on photo. There I am, after he'd left for work at about 6 o'clock in the morning, on my computer with these photos, first of all putting a collage together, so it's like a montage of the entire wall. So I'd got this massive panorama of the wall as it was, which was really tiny at the bottom, probably about 8 to 10 inches. I think they call it a dwarf wall, which is a silly name, but that. Well, she wanted it bigger than that, and then she wanted these pillars, and then it had to be equal, so it lined up, and then it had to fit the fence panels. There I am, actually drawing bricks in Photoshop. I need to dig this out, don't I?
Yeah.
I'll have it somewhere on an old drive. And there I was, actually drawing the pillars. So when he came back, I'd got like a bit of brickwork and then like cloned it and all of that. Then I had to go to the site that was selling the fence panels, get a picture of the fence panel, cut that down and then put it in the gaps. I went downstairs and said, is this what you want? She said, that's exactly what I want. I said, right, well, give that to the idiot that's building it then. So she said to him, this is what I want. He never let go of that piece of paper. It was like it was the Holy Grail. And he's outside going, 1, 2, 3. And then he's checking the wall and making sure it matches up with this plan that I'd done. So, yes, our fence panels that border onto the road are actually screwed into the brickwork. So you can't just lift those up. So we are very, very lucky, but I still wouldn't risk it. She's far too precious to risk it. You don't know what you'd do if Kiva was stolen. Exactly. They're your babies. Anyone who could do that. Your mother made me chip her. Well, it's legal. It's legal requirement over here that all dogs are chipped. Lola has got a chip. But by the time Lola would have been born, it would have been compulsory. When Maya was born, it actually wasn't. And I must admit, I was in two minds as to, like, would it harm him? You know, you've got this lovely 7.5-week-old puppy in your arms. And you're thinking, dare I have him chipped? And I did a lot of research on the chip. And I decided in the end we do this thing. So I took him in. He wasn't bad with it, but he did kind of just go, as the thing went in. It's about the size of a grain of rice. What I was concerned about was, like, down the line, does it kind of degrade or anything leak out of it? Anyway, apparently not. But what he did do that was a scream, and this was a good 8 years later. Dad had car after car after car. He was an idiot of a petrol head. And he got this car and he had it on the drive. And every time the dog walked past, the central locking went the other way. So if it was open, it locked. And if it was locked, it opened. We got that way when we took the dog out to Widley. He had to go past the car twice to get it back where it was. We honestly at first thought, what's that noise? It's like a clicking. You know, if you can imagine the central locking going off on a car. And I'm looking around thinking, what is that noise? And then the dog would walk back the other way and it happened again. It took me a while, you know, because obviously it's night time. I thought, it's Dad's car. And I looked at the lock things that you can actually see. And there they were, popping up and down every time the dog walked past. And I thought, that should be impossible. But it wasn't. And sometimes, you know, he'd be like, he'd run past the car once. She'd be like, come on, Maya, back you come. He'd go back again. And then he'd just do a third pass. And they're like, no, Maya, it's got to be even numbers, lad. Even numbers. That was great fun, wasn't it?
It was.
Oh, Maya, he was a bundle of fun and joy. He really was. Oh, the rumour is always that it's dogfighting. That's just disgusting.
Mm.
I wouldn't have thought some of these dogs were capable of that. If they're being taken and it's anything to do with dogfighting, they're probably just like a warm-up for a proper dog, because this was like a spaniel-y thing, you know, and it was quite small. That is just... Are the police not allowed to clamp down on that? Has somebody been offended by that and they can't clamp down on it like everything else? Dear me. Oh, no. Sadly, spikes on the fence would be illegal. Darn it. Oh, now thorny climbing plants. I'm ahead of you, Anthony. Nearly did ourselves, didn't we? We've got pyracantha at the front, courtesy of my mother. She didn't like people sitting on the wall because we're on the corner. She didn't like people sitting on the wall. So she went into the garden centre and you know, most people are saying like, oh, I want something with pretty flowers. So the guy said, can I help you? She said, yes. What's the most evil bush you've got? And he said, pardon. So she said, I don't want people sitting on the wall. He said, what you want's a pyracantha. And it's got beautiful flowers on it. They come out all white and it looks lovely. Also has berries on it and it looks beautiful. But the spikes on it will kill you. So that has grown, and that is probably also around the 6 foot mark, possibly a little bit more now. Cutting it is a living nightmare. I've got goggles on. I've got glasses inside my goggles. I've got like full length sleeves on. I've got gloves on, and there I am with my hedge trimmer. But it is evil stuff, isn't it? Because once I've got it off, Mike then has the lovely job of getting it into the bin. So you've been cut to shreds with it as well.
I have.
It's evil stuff.
Yes, it's painful.
What I need is more of that, Anthony's quite right.
Good practice for me vaccine jab, though.
Vaccine jab couldn't be worse than that. I actually got a splinter from it, and that would have been about August time. And it was just like, I think I've got a splinter kind of thing. In the October, it just went mad. I'm out at an event, a cotillion. No, it was a church thing, wasn't it? It was the, was it the race night? I think it was the race night. And my finger started bleeding where this thing was, this splinter. Didn't stop. It didn't stop for about 6 months. People were saying like, oh, is that all right now? And I thought, what I'll do is I'll get some plasters that you don't see. And we bought these plasters. They are fabulous plasters. They are totally transparent. You cannot tell that you're wearing them. I had a plaster on it for about a year. Eventually, I managed to get it back to sort of normal. But that's how evil these things are. Anthony likes my mother's way of thinking. Oh, she was red hot, was my mother. It was because we had a narrow wall there to start with. And somebody stole a coping stone. They were sitting on the wall that often that they'd loosened it. And then one night, mum got up and the coping stone had gone. Anyway, because we're on the corner and people would drive past and walk past and actually see it, that there was one missing, this guy knocks on the door and he says, I see you're missing a coping stone. And mum said, yes, somebody stole it. So he said, can I have a look at the others? She said, yeah, sure. So he had a look. He said, I think I can help you out. He said, there's a coping stone in our front garden. I think it's yours. So he went and he got it and he brought it back and it was. They'd carried the thing half a mile up the main road and thrown it in his garden. Again, there are no words for some people's stupidity. But she did get the coping stone back. But after that, she determined no one was touching anything. So if anybody is foolhardy enough, because when did we see that? The garden opposite. So the house is like a mirror image of ours. It's got the original wall. And this original wall, like I said, is ever so tiny. It's only about 3 or 4 bricks. And they've gone for like a kind of wild garden with like wild flowers in it. So it's very flowery. There's a lawn in there. No pyracantha. And the wall is so low and the flowers are so low that you could just hop over this wall. Well, this particular night, I have no idea how we saw it. Probably people making a noise and me just looking out the window from the office. So the office is in pitch darkness, so I can actually see out. They can't see me. And I heard a noise, so I looked out and I could not believe what I was seeing. There was a gang of lads, probably about 5 or 6 of them. They'd obviously come home from some night out and were in dire need of a toilet and clearly were nowhere near a toilet. So they jumped over this couple's wall and proceeded to use the flower beds in a way that was not intended, if you're with me. So one had gone in and then he'd come out and then 2 more went in. And I'm just like, now, this lady had been mean to my mum, quite upset her with something that she'd said. So this was years before. So the next like week or so, I thought, that's just disgusting. But, you know, how can you say to somebody, because what can she do about it apart from plant the pyracantha? What can you do or say? Anyway, she comes out and she's lippy, isn't she, this woman? She'll have to go on Simon's murder board. And she came out and she had like gardening gloves on and stuff. And she heads over to this bed. And just as she was heading over to this bed, and I thought, I better warn her, you know, don't get on your hands and knees down there. And no. She said something again. And I thought, do you know what? Just keep your mouth shut and like get on with it. Now, if these lads tried it now, one of our cameras, the Wendy watching camera, points straight out at this lady's house. So if anybody tries it now, I've got infrared cameras on you. So don't. Oh, you see it all around here. A coping stone. A coping stone is a stone that sits on top of a wall to finish it off. So sometimes they're like rounded. Sometimes they go to like a little bit of a dome. You've sent a link. Let's have a look.
I've sent a link. Yeah.
Does that look anything like it's supposed to look like? Is it one of ours?
No, it's just one that I found.
It's like the Marshall Google ones. Ours is like the Marshall one. £6.30 or £9.95. The one next to that, the £14.60 one, is what we've got on top of the pillars that we've got. The other coping stones there are a different type of coping stone. They are edging stones that would go to like finish a lawn off. But the three in the middle are the ones that go on top of a wall. So yes, that's what a coping stone looks like. Some people don't bother. They just put the bricks on end. But Mum wanted them finished off. There's a long story with that. But she actually decided in the end. This wall was built when we moved in. A guy that my dad knew, and he was a good brickie. Wow, he was so fast. And he was only about 21, you know. He was really good. But it had come to grief over the years and it needed rebuilding. And they were getting silly quotes, like, you know, oh, well, but I know it doesn't look a big job, but it is a big job that, you know, so that's going to cost you £5,000. It was about 9 foot of walling. Now, Mum's working out how much the bricks are and comparing these prices. Honest to God, they were on more per hour than brain surgeons, you know, to get this price to 5,000-6,000. So she said to my dad, now I do remember my dad didn't like DIY. No, it wasn't, you know, do it yourself. It was get somebody else to do it, as far as dad was concerned. So she turned around and she said, I've sorted this all out. And he went, oh, that's great. She said, oh, I'm glad you think so. She said, I bought the bricks. They're arriving on Monday and I've also got the mortar, etc. We're going to build it. She sat out there with him and she built a wall. And it's there to this day. That was how we met Helen and Cliff, you know. A couple around the corner. He was a retired brickie and he said to her, you are doing a damn fine job there, lady. And she said, thank you. She actually built the wall herself. I think it cost about £80, you know, for the bricks and everything they needed. And people were quoting them £5,000 and £6,000 because they just don't really want to do a job unless it's a big job. And this was half of a garden wall. It wasn't even the full garden wall. It was half a garden wall. Oh, that's my mother for you. Oh dear, Tracy, no. Small dogs are used as practice material. Oh no, I don't even want to think about it. It's horrible, horrible. Actually, Kim, in terms of this chip unlocking a car, I've never actually heard of it before. So I don't know whether it was probably something wrong electrically with my dad's car. That would be right. I've never heard of it before, but, you know, and that's why we didn't think straight off, oh, it'll be Mayor's Chip. Yeah, that doesn't even come to your mind. Plus the fact, you know, once he'd had it about a month and there'd been no adverse effects, and then it became law anyway, you just don't even think about it until the car's turning itself on and off. It was great when you were going along the motorway with him and Mayor was in the back. The doors are going on and off. I think it was safer to wrap the car in tinfoil than the dog. Oh, he was so funny. Oh, no, I don't even want to think about practice material. No. Defensive planting. I did not know there was a term, Simon. Now I do. Excellent. Kim loves my mother. She was one heck of a lady. It was all. What was funny was, like, I mean, Chidge and Nina do the same. Nina will say, I've been having a think. And Chidge turns white because he knows it's going to mean work. But every time Mum said, I've had an idea or I've made a decision, Dad would fall for it every time, because initially it'd be like, oh, she's going to get somebody in. And before you know it, he's outside ankle deep in building a conservatory. That happened. That was 1985. He said, I should be out there helping. This was during the Whit holiday, which I think was 2 weeks at the time. And I was revising for my A-levels. So I was 18 at the time, doing the most important exams of my life at that point. And he said, I should be out there building it with them. And Mum said, don't get any ideas. And he kept coming into the house and sort of saying, well, maybe you could give us half an hour. So what she did was she locked the kitchen door and locked him outside with her. So I got peace. But I do remember once I'd finished my revision for the day, I went outside and it was probably about 7 o'clock at night. And I stood and I painted all the wood with them in the garage till about midnight. Because when she said we're doing the job, they were doing the job. Whether he liked it or not, and he never did, they were doing the job. Right, we better head off, seeing as though we've got to eat and Mike's got some football. Haven't you?
Uh-huh.
But we will be back with you tomorrow for more fun and frolics.
I now need to reboot this machine. Oh no, it's reappeared.
You're breaking it. You're breaking your toys.
Yeah, Finder disappeared.
Oh, my desktop curtain was there, wouldn't disappear.
Oh.
So I knew I had stuff on the desktop and then I couldn't see it, so I had to restart that. No, I am ankle deep in PowerPoint at the moment, so there you go. If you want to lick Mikey Kim, that's absolutely fine, but you might want to wait until the COVID thing's over.
Thank you, Kimmy.
We'll just say that was from Kiva, and it'll all be fine.
I'll just screenshot that one, Kimmy.
Oh, then Kim can never live that one down like you can't live the other one down.
Which other one would that be?
There were so many, Mike.
Yes.
So many. Wasn't it your sex app?
Yes.
Oh, we've got a song for this week if we could get colours in. I want to sex you up. Colour me bad. Which is making Mike think of the last time we heard that. That was when the priest was singing it. Don't go there. No. We must move on. So I'm going to say goodnight from me.
I'm going to say goodnight from me.
And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.